As a gay man, I yearn for a president who believes in equal rights for all Americans.
Both parents are important in the success of a family, so no, I don't believe in gay adoption.
But then, as George said, this country does not torture people, said the sadist in chief.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A historic convention caps U.S. Democrats' primary process. A unique Australian Labourite counters party policy by proposing marriage equality. And McCain's straight talk raises gay questions. All that and a lot more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher David Trentum.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 30th, 2008. The Democratic Party made U.S. history this week with its presidential nomination of Barack Obama. And at its quadrennial convention in Denver, the LGBT delegation, which by some accounts numbered more than 300 and may have been larger than all but three states, joined about 2,500 party faithful for the four-day gathering. Only two openly lesbi-gay speakers addressed the convention, although rocker Melissa Etheridge performed prior to Obama's speech, formally accepting his party's nomination. Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin didn't reference her sexuality or LGBT issues in her convention speech, which focused on health care. And longtime Democratic National Committee Treasurer Andrew Tobias discussed the economy during his speech, but did say that,
"As a gay man, I yearn for a president who believes in equal rights for all Americans."
And mentions in speeches by non-gay allies may have satisfied the LGBT delegates. Venerable Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts, during his surprise appearance, argued that
Barack Obama will close the book on the old politics of race, gender, and group against group, and straight against gay.
As she outlined the reasons she ran for president and why she's now supporting Obama, Hillary Rodham Clinton, a history maker in her own right, said that Democrats need
to fight for an America that is defined by deep and meaningful equality, from civil rights to labor rights, from women's rights to gay rights.
Speaking the next night, two-term President Bill Clinton noted that
Senator Obama's values of freedom and equal opportunity, which have given him his historic chance, will drive him as president to give all Americans, regardless of race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or disability, their chance to build a decent life and to show our humanity as well as our strength to the world.
Michelle Obama made a surprise appearance at a luncheon for LGBT delegates with a lengthy speech the day after she spoke to the convention.
We all know that our country's journey toward equality is not finished yet. We know it right here in this room. It's been 5 years since Lawrence versus Texas and 39 years since Stonewall, but still, we've got work to do before we achieve equality in the LGBT community.
And candidate Barack Obama argued for LGBT equality during his electrifying formal acceptance speech. More about that later in the program.
While not as LGBT-specific in language as previous party platforms, the Democrats do call for repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, state their opposition to the Clinton-era Anti-Lesbi-Gay Defense of Marriage Act, and urge the passage of a Comprehensive Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Openly gay Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank dismissed questions from reporters about the less specific references to LGBT people in the party platform this year as unfair. He called it a sign of maturity and said that the LGBT movement is fully integrated into the party.
Elsewhere, the governing Australian Labour Party's newest senator, Louise Pratt, the first member of parliament with a transsexual partner, used her maiden speech this week to break from her party's policy and call for marriage law reform. I look forward to a time when we will have removed at a federal level all discrimination on the grounds of gender identity and sexuality, she said, to a time when my partner is not denied a passport because his gender is not recognized under our laws, and to a time when, if my gay friends wish to be legally married, they can be. Pratt has joined openly gay Green Party leader Bob Brown and openly lesbian climate change minister Penny Wong in the Australian Senate. Australian Labor Party Prime Minister Kevin Rudd's government, however, has consistently opposed marriage equality for same-gender couples.
Pioneering lesbian activist Del Martin died this week in San Francisco at the age of 87, with her partner of 55 years, Phyllis Lyon, at her side. Her death came about 2 months after they became California's first legally married same-gender couple. "I am devastated," Lyon said in a statement, "but I take some solace in knowing we were able to enjoy the ultimate right of love and commitment before she passed." Along with six other women, Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon formed the Daughters of Bilitis in San Francisco in 1955, named for a Parisian book of lesbian erotic poetry. The group blossomed into the first national lesbian advocacy organization in the U.S. The pair co-authored the seminal Lesbian Woman in 1972, a book that offered an intimate account of lesbian relationships. A year later, Martin became the first out lesbian to serve on the board of directors of the National Organization for Women, even though opponents worried that her selection would brand all feminists as lesbians. Del Martin is survived by her daughter, Kendra Mann, from a four-year marriage to her college sweetheart, two grandchildren, and of course her wife, Phyllis Lyon. San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, who officiated at their wedding on June 16th, ordered American flags at City Hall and the rainbow flag in the Castro District to be flown at half-staff. Plans for a public memorial are pending.
In other news, a legally married Belgian man and his Senegalese husband were sentenced in the African country this week to 2 years in prison for acts against nature. Richard Lambeau and Mustapha Gwaye, each in their early 60s, were married in July in Belgium, where it's legal, and then returned to predominantly Muslim Senegal, where homosexual acts are punishable by up to 5 years behind bars. They were arrested when the marriage certificate was discovered in their luggage. Their lawyer claimed that the two men aren't gay, that Gwaye was Lambeau's domestic helper, and that they'd only married to help Gwaye get papers to live in Belgium. But police said they found evidence of homosexuality during a search of Lambeau's home in Dakar. They had apparently returned to Senegal to prepare to permanently relocate to Belgium.
In the U.S., a group that wants to revive the 1913 Massachusetts law that banned marriages there if they wouldn't be legally recognized in a couple's home state has been given the green light to circulate petitions to put the issue before state voters. Mass Resistance has until the end of October of this year to gather the 33,000 signatures necessary to qualify the measure for the November 2010 ballot. The original law was repealed in late June by the Massachusetts legislature. In signing the repeal, African-American Governor Deval Patrick, who has an openly lesbian daughter, noted that the original law was enacted to ban state recognition of interracial marriage. While same-gender couples have been legally marrying in Massachusetts since 2004, couples from other states were prohibited by that 1913 law from marrying in the state. Chris Minot of the Massachusetts Family Institute, the largest conservative group behind a failed effort to constitutionally ban same-gender marriage there, told reporters that his group is not participating in the referendum effort because there is no winning on this issue.
Constitutional same-gender marriage bans will be on the ballot this November in the states of Arizona, California, and Florida. And a proposal to essentially ban gay men and lesbians from becoming foster or adoptive parents was certified this week for the November ballot in Arkansas. The measure would prohibit unmarried couples living together from fostering or adopting children. Arkansas doesn't allow same-gender couples to marry or recognize those marriages conducted elsewhere. The Arkansas Family Council Action Committee submitted petitions this week with about 24,000 more signatures than the 62,000 required to qualify the measure for the ballot. Arkansas Families First will be campaigning against it. The group claimed last week that they'd found numerous signatures that should have been rejected by the state as invalid and may file a lawsuit over that issue. They say that the measure would unfairly discriminate against unmarried couples and limit the number of available foster and adoptive homes in the state.
But finally, along with the men's 10-meter platform diving gold medal winner Australian Matthew Mitchum, the only openly gay competitor at the Beijing Olympics, several out lesbians also brought home medals. Gro Hammersing and Katja Nyberg, partners in sport and in life, were part of Norway's gold medal-winning handball team. Natasha Kai helped the U.S. win gold in women's soccer, while Linda Brasonic was part of Germany's bronze medal-winning team. And Vicky Galindo and Lauren Lappin powered the U.S. women's team to a silver medal in softball. While Olympics coverage in the U.S. by NBC was filled with heartwarming personal stories of medal winners and their families, LGBT viewers complained that there were no shots of Mitchum's boyfriend, Lachlan Fletcher, cheering him on, nor coverage of Mitchum hugging and kissing him after winning the gold with the highest score for a single dive in Olympics history. NBC called the omissions inadvertent. But if you were watching TV in Australia or surfed YouTube, you could have seen Mitchum handing his Olympics bouquet to Fletcher, hugging his boyfriend and his mother, and saying,
"I would like to say thank you to absolutely everybody who helped get my partner Lachlan and my mum here with me to support me, because it was so important to have those two people here with me."
And that's News Wrap for the week ending August 30th, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher David Trentum.
And I'm Greg Gordon. We'll put a finishing touch on the Democratic Party's party and handle political anger management issues with humor later in the program. The marathon presidential campaign in the U.S. heads for its final sprint with the Republican Party's nominating convention this week in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's been a long race full of ups and downs for a presumptive nominee, Senator John McCain. When it comes to LGBT-related issues, we've seen mostly downs. McCain found himself down one back in April of 2007, as This Way Out's Lucia Chappell reported.
Arizona Senator John McCain punctured a political tire on the second day of his Republican presidential campaign bus tour in mid-March. According to a New York Times report by Adam Nagurny, the flat on McCain's Straight Talk Express occurred when an unnamed reporter asked the prospective candidate's position on the distribution of taxpayer-subsidized condoms to fight the spread of AIDS in Africa. In a shaky response punctuated by long pauses and nervous laughter, McCain deferred to the wisdom of conservative Republican Senator and Dr. Tom Coburn as he desperately sought assistance from Press Secretary Brian Jones and Senior Advisor John Weaver. Reading from Nagurny's transcript of the encounter are our Rick Watts as the reporter and Don Lupo as Senator McCain.
Should U.S. taxpayer money go to places like Africa to fund contraception to prevent AIDS?
Well, I think it's a combination. The guy I really respect on this is Dr. Coburn. He believes, and I was just reading the thing he wrote, that you should do what you can to encourage abstinence where there is going to be sexual activity. Where that doesn't succeed, then he thinks that we should employ contraceptives as well. But I agree with him that the first priority is on abstinence. I look to people like Dr. Coburn. I'm not very wise on it.
Here McCain started to take another question, but then turned back to the AIDS issue.
I haven't thought about it. Before I give you an answer, let me think about a little bit, because I never got a question about it before. I don't know if I would use taxpayers' money for it.
What about grants for sex education in the United States? Should they include instructions about using contraceptives, or should it be Bush's policy, which is just abstinence?
Long pause.
I think I support the president's policy.
So no contraception, no counseling on contraception. Just abstinence? Do you think contraceptives help stop the spread of HIV?
Long pause.
You've stumped me.
I mean, I think you'd probably agree it probably does help stop it.
Are we on the Straight Talk Express? I'm not informed enough on it. Let me find out. You know, I'm sure I've taken a position on it in the past. I have to find out what my position was. Brian, would you find out what my position is on contraception? I'm sure I'm opposed to government spending on it. I'm sure I support the president's policies on it.
But you would agree that condoms do stop the spread of sexually transmitted diseases. Would you say, no, we're not going to distribute them, knowing that?
12-second pause.
Get me Coburn's thing. Ask Weaver to get me Coburn's paper that he just gave me in the last couple of days. I've never gotten into these issues before.
McCain's campaign confirmed later that indeed the senator had a record of voting against government money for condom distribution. This should not be surprising if he relies on advice from Senator Coburn, famous for alleging that Southeast Oklahoma schools were rampant with lesbianism, calling the so-called gay agenda the greatest threat to our freedom that we face today, and favoring the death penalty for abortion providers. For This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell.
McCain scored poorly again when put to the queer marriage test by Ellen DeGeneres on her daytime TV talk show in May of this year.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the big elephant in the room. By the way, I was planning on having a ceremony anyway this summer, even though it wasn't legal, but I feel that at least I get to celebrate my love. And then it just so happened that I legally now can get married, like everyone should.
And I saw where someone even registered you.
Someone illegally registered me, but yeah. So I'm obviously excited, and to me, this is only fair and only natural. And what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that I think that people should be able to enter into legal agreements, and I think that is something that we should encourage, particularly in the case of insurance and other areas, decisions that have to be made. I just believe in the unique status of marriage between man and woman, and I know that we have a respectful disagreement on that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that it is looked at, and some people are saying the same, that blacks and women did not have the right to vote. I mean, women just got the right to vote in 1920. Blacks didn't have the right to vote till 1870, and it just feels like there's this old way of thinking that we are not all the same. We are all the same people, all of us. No, you're no different than I am. Our love is the same. To me, what it feels like, I will speak for myself. It feels when someone says you can have a contract and you'll still have insurance and you'll get all that, it sounds to me like saying, well, you can sit there, you just can't sit there. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like to me. It feels like it doesn't feel inclusive. It feels isolated. It feels like we are not, we aren't owed the same things and the same wording. So,
well, I've heard you articulate that position in a very eloquent fashion. We just have a disagreement, and I, along with many, many others, wish you every happiness.
Thank you. So you'll walk me down the aisle? Is that what you said?
Touché.
McCain gave LGBT activists something else to worry about during a mid-July New York Times interview.
President Bush believes that gay couples should not be permitted to adopt children. Do you agree with that?
I think that we've proven that both parents are important in the success of a family. So, no, I don't believe in gay adoption.
There's no indication that the GOP presidential nominee has learned any more about whether condoms prevent HIV transmission. He did not attend Ellen DeGeneres' August wedding to Australian-born actress Portia de Rossi, which ranked higher on the cover of People magazine than swimmer Michael Phelps' record-breaking Olympic victories. McCain's campaign has clarified that the matter of lesbi-gay adoption should be decided by the states, not banned by the federal government, but the senator is on record in support of state bans on same-gender marriage. He's also chosen arch-conservative, anti-marriage equality, anti-choice Alaska Governor Sarah Palin as his running mate. And an oncoming hurricane in the Gulf Coast region threatens to dampen the impact of the Republican National Convention. Lesbian feminist humorist Kate Clinton helped a Washington area audience work out their frustrations with the Bush administration last November, as we look forward to a more hopeful November to come.
I have been working on my spiritual condition because for the last 7 years, I've been insane. And it's just not healthy, do you know? I just hate walking around like this. I've been doing everything. I read The Work. I read The Secret. I watched Wayne Dyer. I did anger management. And that, it didn't work. It didn't work at all. I've been trying to be more spiritual, trying to... And actually, remember that terrible the tornado that was in Kansas this summer? Tornado in Kansas. What are the chances? But I heard on NPR, they were interviewing this woman. She was 90 years old, and she had survived the tornado by going down in her basement. And they were talking to her, and they said, "Now, how did you do it?" And it was Ella Mae Hargadine. I loved her. And she said, "Well, I was down in the basement, and I heard the storm coming, and I put my granddaughter's rocker on my head. It was like a helmet. And I said to Jesus, 'Jesus, if I get out of here alive, I promise I won't be a whiner.'" Basically, that's my spiritual program. But it's not working, basically. I mean, I still have the bouts of the Bush Tourette syndrome. I mean, I see him and I still start screaming. Just screaming, veins blowing out of my neck. I put it on mute now to watch. And is it my imagination, or has that area between his eyebrows gotten bigger? And it's just like one unibrow all the way along, like a really big kind of scary caterpillar. It looks like it's going to be a long nuclear winter. And it's actually, and I mean no insult to anyone with Tourette's, but the Tourette thing has actually metastasized. Almost anyone in the administration can set me off now. Alberto Gonzalez. It bugs me because he has no neck. Have you noticed that? Well, no spine. And he didn't remember anything. And they, "No, I don't recall, don't recall." And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know what? Google it. This is not the mind of Mensa here. Which was too bad, because this should have been a wonderful, exciting moment for Mexican Americans. One of their own was head of the Justice Department, but not so much. But I was watching Gonzo, and then I'm thinking, you know what? He's the guy that wrote the rules about torture. I think we could help him remember. Just a little squeezy, squeezy. But then, as George said, this country does not torture people, said the sadist in chief. We export that to other countries and they do it for us. Thank you very much. And then George says, "We don't torture people." I beg to differ. I feel like I've been tortured. Oh my God, 7 years of torture.
Kate Clinton's latest comedy CD is called Climate Change. For more information, log on to kateclinton.com. And finally this week, Democratic presidential nominee Senator Barack Obama was queer inclusive during his much-heralded August 28th acceptance speech in Denver, Colorado.
"America, our work will not be easy. The challenges we face require tough choices. And Democrats, as well as Republicans, will need to cast off the worn-out ideas and politics of the past. For part of what has been lost these past 8 years can't just be measured by lost wages or bigger trade deficits. What has also been lost is our sense of common purpose. And that's what we have to restore. We may not agree on abortion, but surely we can agree on reducing the number of unwanted pregnancies in this country. The reality of gun ownership may be different for hunters in rural Ohio than they are for those plagued by gang violence in Cleveland, but don't tell me we can't uphold the Second Amendment while keeping AK-47s out of the hands of criminals. I know there are differences on same-sex marriage, but surely we can agree that our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters deserve to visit the person they love in a hospital and to live lives free of discrimination. You know, passions may fly on immigration, but I don't know anyone who benefits when a mother is separated from her infant child, or an employer undercuts American wages by hiring illegal workers. Now, this, too, is part of America's promise, the promise of a democracy where we can find the strength and grace to bridge divides and unite in common effort. Now, I know there are those who dismiss such beliefs as happy talk. They claim that our insistence on something larger, something firmer and more honest in our public life is just a Trojan horse for higher taxes and the abandonment of traditional values. And that's to be expected, because if you don't have any fresh ideas, then you use stale tactics to scare voters. If you don't have a record to run on, then you paint your opponent as someone people should run from. You make a big election about small things. And you know what? It's worked before. Because it feeds into the cynicism we all have about government. When Washington doesn't work, all its promises seem empty. If your hopes have been dashed again and again, then it's best to stop hoping and settle for what you already know. I get it. I realize that I'm not the likeliest candidate for this office. I don't fit the typical pedigree, and I haven't spent my career in the halls of Washington. But I stand before you tonight because all across America, something is stirring. What the naysayers don't understand is that this election has never been about me. It's about you. It's about you.
For more information online about Senator Obama's positions regarding the lesbian, gay, bi, trans communities, visit LGBT4Obama.com. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Christopher David Trentum and Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly contributed original program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep us on the air. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of all our programs there. To receive our weekly email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on WSMU North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, KRFC Fort Collins, Colorado, 2BLU Katoomba, New South Wales, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.